bij de podcast van C3 Den Haag. Een kerk die mensen wil bereiken, bouwen en bekrachtigen met een boodschap van geloof, hoop en liefde. We hopen dat deze podcast je verfrist en inspireert.
We're going to base this series, first of all, on Ephesians 5, 17 to 33. And it's quite a big passage, so I'm just going to pick out a few things. But let's start from verse 17, with the first few verses. It says, "Therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And do not be drunk with wine, in which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another in the fear of God." And it's interesting because this is the context from which Paul starts to talk about marriage. So he's saying, you know, all of us, let's be filled with the Spirit. Let's be filled with a spirit of love, the Spirit of God who is filling us with His love and His peace and patience and joy. And let's be worshippers. Let's, you know, put God at the first place, and let's be singing and thanking Him. And in that context of being filled with the Spirit, he then says, submit to one another in the fear of God. And this is the first verse, really. Often there's a break in translations where they have a little break and then they put husbands and wives, you know, up there. And the first thing he says is submit to each other, men and women, submit together to each other in the fear of God. And then he goes on and talks about marriage specifically, and you get the verses. And if you've been around Christianity a long time, then you've heard these verses about wives, submit to your husbands. And if you go on, it says, husbands, love your wives. And we're going to talk more about that in the coming weeks. But I think it's so important to see the context in which these verses have been written. And then he goes on, and I want to pick it up at verse, verse 32, I think it is, where it says, "For this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh." So that was, there you see that marriage was actually God's idea. And Paul here, he's quoting from Genesis in the Bible, just after God created the world. One of the first things he did is he said, you know, Adam and Eve, put them together. Marriage is actually God's idea. And a lot of the material that we're going to share today is based on a book that we both read from Pastor Timothy Keller called The Reason for Marriage. He wrote this book with his wife, Kathy, and it's an amazing book, and we're going to share so much is from that book, so we want to acknowledge the source of some of this material and the Bible. Hey, should we pray together? Thank you, Father, that you created marriage, and we pray that you'd help us to understand what it really is and what you created it to be, and also understand, you know, who we are, and no matter what our personal life situation is, whether single or married, God, we pray that you'd speak to us today, and give us insight on what marriage is and what we can learn about you through marriage. So I thank you for that, in Jesus' name, amen. Okay, so I want to start talking a little bit about, maybe some of the myths that are out there around marriage. I'll just keep an eye on the time, okay? Because often you hear, I don't know about you, but I get the feeling that marriage is not considered to be very necessary these days in our society. Lucas said in the previous service, you know, marriage is not popular. I'm not quite sure about that. I recently asked, I'm a teacher, and I asked all my third year classes in high school to write a paragraph in English. They're Dutch students, so they had to write in English about what they want to be when they grow up, or, you know, when they're 30. And I'd say about 90% said, I want to be married, like not just long-term relationship, but I want to be married. So I think there's still something in our hearts that likes the idea of finding someone, you know, to live the rest of our lives with. But if I talk to my colleagues, many of them, they don't really see the point. They say, oh, you know, it's just a slip of paper. You know, just because you have the piece of paper doesn't mean that you're going to stay together or that your relationship is going to work. Some of the other things you might hear are, how can I make a promise to love someone for the rest of my life? Maybe I won't feel it in 60 years. You know, I'll make it to love you as long as I feel it, which is really quite an incredible sort of a promise. How much of a promise is that? I don't know. But, you know, that's generally the feeling is like, is this even realistic? And the interesting thing is in our society these days, on one hand, I think our expectations for marriage are higher than they ever have been. You know, in previous generations, expectations for marriage were fairly low in the sense that it was more of a practical sort of arrangement designed to provide stability for society, security for women, stability and security for children, and it was like a financial thing, and it was more just the stable form of society, and personal happiness was not the greatest priority. But now we see marriage more as like a goal for personal happiness and means for self-actualization, you know. And so that puts a huge pressure actually on a marriage, huge expectations. But what I also observe around me and is on the one hand these high expectations for what marriage can do for us, but on the other hand a sort of a growing skepticism or sort of depressed feeling, because marriage, how can marriage ever be that? So we're sort of looking for alternatives. We're trying to, you know, what do we do with this? But it's good to take a step back and actually look at the facts. And I have some really interesting statistics for you. And these are not meant to be defining, but more to help us, maybe reassure us that actually God's definition of marriage actually statistically works. Okay, so here are a few. Here's one. Married couples, these statistics come from two sources. One is Gallup and the other is the National Marriage Project. Both are independent research agencies in America. The first one is married couples who cohabitate before they marry have a higher chance of divorce. And that is an interesting statistic, because I think our current society says that if you live together first, well, surely you should see divorce rates in that group go down, because we're saying we're trying it out. We're making sure it's going to work before we sign on the dotted line or before we take that step. But actually, the statistics don't support that fact. Statistics support the idea actually that not living together, which is the Bible way of doing it, God's way of doing it, actually provide a better foundation for marriage. So that's an interesting thing to note. The highest percentage of divorces are actually marriages either before the age of 18 or for people who have dropped out of high school or possibly have a baby before getting married. And I actually read another research that put that number a little bit higher, actually at 24. So marriages, in other words, when you're very young, or, you know, if you're getting married because you've had a baby, that was the highest percentage of divorce. And why that's interesting is because I think there's a sort of an idea that, you know, half marriages these days aren't going to make it. But actually, the divorce rate is higher in certain groups. So it's, if you actually, to quote Tim Keller, he said, if you're a reasonably highly educated person with a decent income, come from an intact family and are religious, marry after 25 without having a baby first, your chances of divorce are actually quite low. So now, once again, I want to say, you know, we shouldn't take these facts as like to define the future of our own lives. I fully believe that, you know, whatever your personal situation, you can have a great marriage. But what we're trying to do is provide to show that marriage actually can work. Here's another. I've got a few facts about men. This was in a research for men specifically. Married men who have been married for their whole working career have been shown to earn 10 to 40% more than a single man with similar education and job histories. Interesting. Another one is married men show greater physical and mental health. And that could be because spouses hold one another to greater levels of personal responsibility. I quite like that thought. And the other one is that marriage can provide a great sort of shock absorber to deal with the disappointments in life. Here's a few more. This is about, I've just got two more actually, about people in general, not just about men. It says the number of married people who say that they are happy in their marriage is about 60, 61, 62%, which is also interesting because I think especially in Hollywood, the picture that is painted of marriage, if you think about the sitcoms and, you know, films you see, is that this is sort of a general view that marriage, once you get more married, well, your life is over. It's sort of boring, or, you know, like most unmarried couples are unhappy and they fight all the time. Like, that's the cliche that you see too often. But actually, the statistics are showing that considerably more than half say that they are actually happy. There's another one that says 2/3 of unhappy marriages will become happy within 5 years if they stay married and do not get divorced. I thought that was an interesting one as well. So sometimes there's something about the long term, sticking it out, that, you know, if you're not feeling it right now, it can still grow. So these are some really interesting statistics that are sort of showing that the good old fashioned, you know, lifelong monogamous marriage, as described in the Bible, is actually... it actually works, actually good for us if we can unlock the secrets to make it work. Now I want to take a moment actually to think back with you on my life. I've been married for 13 years now. I have 3 children. And think about, you know, what would I say to myself when I got married? And I've got a couple of things that Lucas shared the same thing. And some of the things that I would say to myself are the same as what Lucas would say, and some of the things are my own things. So this is a similar message to the first one, but with a Nicola twist. Okay. So the first one that I would say is actually, we won't show photos. We don't have time, and we've got the podcast. If you want to see photos, I'll show you later. Okay. So the first thing I'd want to say is... to my young self is, one, you made the right choice. You made the good decision, and not just in my decision to marry Lucas, because I'm happy about that, but also in the decision with how we decided to start our relationship. You know, and when we started dating, we made the decision not to sleep with each other before we got married. So we are probably in, I think, what is it, a huge exception in our society these days. We were both virgins when we got married, and we had never lived together. And I don't want to share that necessarily because I'm trying to brag or whatever, or because I want to judge other people, because everyone has their own different stories. And gosh, if you didn't grow up in church, and yeah, that's like... No one lives that way anymore. But I do want to share it just to say that it is possible. Like, it does happen. It can happen. It can be your story. And what I want to say now, as someone who's been married for 13 years looking back, is that I'm really happy that I made those choices, because I can see now the fruit that it brought about in my life. I have not one moment of regret, not one moment that I think, oh, we should have actually tried it out before we got married. I think often there's a sort of myth that says you can't really know someone until you live together. But on the one hand, I think, yeah, okay, maybe you never really know someone, but you can know the important things. You can really know enough to make a good, well-grounded decision to whether this person is the one you want to marry. But some of the things that really did for our relationship is it built an incredible amount of trust. So, you know, it takes a lot. If two people are together and you're madly in love with each other and you really want to sleep with each other, to say no, we're not going to do that, we're going to wait. But what that does is it builds a trust, because you know, hey, if the other person can say no to you, then they will definitely be able to say no to other temptations that come along when you do get married. And so I find now that there's a huge trust that I have with Lucas, that I have to admit I'm so blessed to say that I've never had any doubts about Lucas in that area. Like, that trust is there, and it comes because we followed God's path at the start. And there are a couple of other things that did for us. Oh yeah, and also it just makes the time you do get married, it makes it really fun. not just because of the sex, but also because things are arranged. And I think one of the things that that decision does for you is that it means you have to prioritize. So it's like you have to sort out all the practical things till the final moment comes when you get married, and then there's nothing left to be done except just enjoy being together. But you can be madly in love with someone, but unless, if one of you, for example, is in the country illegally or may not be allowed to stay, well, you have a huge problem on your hands. And one thing that this principle does is it makes you sort out all the practical things, because to get married, you have to figure out the visas. Well, this was relevant to us because we have an international relationship. We have to figure out where you're going to live. When you get married, the families have to meet each other. And what I see around me is a lot of couples, they get really close together. They start building an amazing intimacy with each other while there are these other issues sort of looming over their heads that need to get sorted out if the relationship is going to have any long-term viability. And I see this principle, nothing focuses the relationship more than the decision to wait, right? Then suddenly you get really sharp about, hey, what are we doing here? And so I can see a huge benefit in this principle, even though it's completely countercultural. I just want to put it out there that I'm really grateful that we followed God in this area, and I would encourage everyone to do the same thing. The other thing that I would say is, marriage is not, it's not just there to support you. And this is so important. Often, especially when we're young, we can see marriage as like a destination. But I believe that's a wrong view of marriage. If we go back to what the Bible says, it says, for this reason, a man shall leave his father and his mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. This is a great mystery. You know, it's like he doesn't say, this is an amazing thing that's going to make you happy and give you that fulfilled feeling that you've been longing for. He just says, this is a mystery, you know. And if you've been married for a long time, sometimes that's all you think is, this is a mystery. Like, I don't understand my partner doesn't understand us, and we're so different, and how is this working, and this is just one big mystery right here. You know, the Bible never promises that marriage is the answer to happiness or fulfillment or, you know, your destiny. That's the important thing to see. Marriage is great. You have someone that you can rely on, but you also have someone who hugely relies on you. So, let me just go back to my notes here. So marriage requires a huge amount from you. And I know being single does too, actually. If I remember my days and from my friends that I know, is that being single requires a huge amount of inner emotional strength. And you have to trust God in so many areas. But surprisingly enough, actually, those two things are also the great qualities that will help make your marriage strong as well. And I would encourage myself, if I look back, to make my marriage, or maybe I'd encourage you, to make your marriage more about you and God than about the other person. Marriage works the best when each person is focusing on their own responsibility and their own commitment that they made to God. And it's so easy to put your expectations on the other person, you know, and you're waiting for them to do the right thing for you. And then if they don't, you get disappointed. And then what are you going to do? And I know I've had days where I felt like, you know, if it was just Lucas and me, I'm not sure about this anymore. But the great thing about a Christian marriage is it's not just the two of you, but God's in there. It's the three of you. And while God is in there, then there's always hope. And when you focus on the commitment that you made to God, who will never let you down, who loves you incredibly, then he will give you the strength to stay in the marriage and to keep working on it and to keep hope. And so marriages are almost impossible, actually, to do without God, I think. Some people, obviously, who don't know God have great marriages. And I think that when they're doing that, they're probably intuitively just putting into practice the same principles that God has put in place, probably without realizing it and experiencing the blessing of that, you know, because God's made them and it's just working. But I think for for many of us, if those principles don't come intuitively, or you know, if there's brokenness in our past, then we need God to help us make marriage work. And if I look at the instructions to wives and to husbands, it says, you know, wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. And that is a huge statement. I think we're going to get into this more a little bit later. But this is almost an impossible statement for women. But the instruction to men is also just as huge, to sacrifice. And in marriage, both people are asked, in a Christian marriage, to sacrifice for each other in incredibly far-reaching ways, in ways that, you know, to give yourself up for another person is almost impossible without being filled with the love of God in your heart. You know, if you submit to someone, then it is a sacrifice. It's giving up a bit of independence, a bit of control. And ladies, how much do we love control? I mean, you know, and it's, you almost can't do that unless you have confidence, first of all, in God, you know, and confidence in the other person. But if the other person is not, you know, living up to your expectations, and it comes down to your confidence and your trust in God, that you can submit to this person and God will look after you. And that's why I think it's so important. This is maybe the last point. Yeah, I want to finish on is, you know, marriage requires change that only God can bring about. And that's why it's so important to see marriage in the context of those very first verses that we read right at the start about being filled with the Holy Spirit. When we let God fill our hearts, then we have the power to be in a marriage and to make the sacrifices that are needed to make the marriage work. I'll just read it one more time. It says, don't be drunk with wine, but be filled with the Spirit, and sing to each other with psalms. Just a moment, I'm translating from the Dutch version as I'm reading. Let's go straight to English, that's easier. Don't be drunk with wine, in which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another in the fear of God. So that we see that when we allow the love of God to touch our hearts and to fill us, you know, and it says, be filled with the Holy Spirit. And we know that God is a spirit of love. And sometimes what I like to do is, whenever the Bible is talking about love, is I like to go to 1 Corinthians 13, where you read the description of love. You know, love is patient, love is kind, love isn't easily angered, love isn't jealous, love doesn't remember wrongs, you know, love thinks about the others, love is, you know, all these things. What Paul is saying here is, be filled with the Spirit of God, be filled with patience, be filled with kindness, be filled with joy, be filled with His love. Only when we let God's love soften our hearts, then we find ourselves in a position to be able to love the person unconditionally, love our husbands and our wives unconditionally. And so He gives us the ability to submit to each other, you know, in confidence and in trust without fear. And that's the beautiful thing. And there's so much more that I could say on this subject. And I feel like I'm just sort of just skimming the surface, touching on a few things. But I hope that in the coming weeks we'll be able to go a little bit deeper into some of these instructions. So the main thing I want to leave you with is, you know, if I would think, you know, back to myself, I would say I'm happy about the choices I made. So, you know, just encouraging all singles out there on the podcast to get about your dating relationship. When you meet someone, do it God's way, and you will spend your life reaping the benefits of it. What was my second point? To realize that marriage is not a destination, and it's not there to make you happy or fulfill your dreams. You know, it's just another step in your journey, and learning how to lean on God is going to help you, and no matter which stage you are in life. And the final thing is, realize that the change that you need to make your marriage work is got to come from God and from His Spirit working in us.
Bedankt voor het luisteren naar deze podcast. Wil je er op zondagochtend ook een keer bij zijn? Je bent van harte welkom. Ga voor meer informatie naar c3denhaag.nl.